Okay, so it's 362. Oh, 366. Let's see, 362. 366. 362. Oh, no, 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 no. I'm getting my voice.
Is it better than next day?
Yes.
Hymn number 366. Hymn number 366.
Oh,
saved and going to heaven, give me an amen.
Amen.
All right. You know, I did this in our Sunday school class. How many of you saw what Justice Scalia, is that how you say his name? How many of you saw what he said this week? Joan did. He came out and he said this week, and it really created a big problem. Because he's a Supreme Court judge, right? So at that level, that's it. Once it gets there, if there's ever a constitutional crisis, it gets solved there. And he came out and he said this week, he is surprised at how many Americans are so eagerly accepting of communistic and socialistic ideas.
Amen.
Okay, now he said that. I'm not going to get political. So I'm just saying, I don't even know if the man's a Christian. I do know he's a Supreme Court judge. I do know that. Outside of that, I don't know where he stands. And then he said these things. He said, at no other time in our history has Christian liberties been at stake any other time than today. Amen. Now, if he says that, and his position that he's in is a whole lot more of the in the know than what I would be today. And I just want to tell you this. Every time that we exercise our faith, every time that we do this at any generation, it is taking a stand and letting people know that this is important. You know, and in other countries like China and places like that, the reason why they don't have churches like they do over here, and why you do not have the freedom to worship, I guess that's what he said, the freedom to worship was at risk. The reason why in China that, even to have a Bible is something that is against the law. The reason being is because they look at all the problems in the world being the cause of religion, right? And if you can remove religion, then the Muslims can get along with the Jews, and the Jews can get along with the Christians, and the Christians can get along with the Hindus. If you could just remove that obstacle that is the cause of all this poison, then you would have a better society, right? Just food for thought. And I want to tell you, thank you for being faithful this morning. You know, there's no greater thing that you can do than to show the Lord that you love Him by being a part of a service on Sunday morning. I just want to thank you for doing that. Yesterday, I went and visited Princess Reed. She's asked prayer. They got her heart monitor off. She's waiting for results from that. She's not able to drive right now because her feet don't operate like they need to. But I tell you what, every time I sit down with her, I always leave very blessed. You know, I mean, she was cracking me up, telling me what it was like when she was growing up. I told her some Sunday I'm going to let her preach because she's got a lot to say. I enjoyed that. She was just talking about, you know, the generation today versus what it was like back then. And she wanted me to tell everybody that she misses church, and she wants to get back as soon as she can. She's doing, of course, there's some folks in our church that are dealing with COVID, so pray for that. The shoe boxes are out there. I was going to ask you, where Mom, where's Beth? Beth, how many boxes are left to fill? Could you take a moment and be out there on the way out to explain that? So there's four boxes left that need one bigger toy to go in it. And then there are several boxes, and she can tell you what goes in there. They're going to be leaving next Sunday, for sure. If you would like to take one of those empty boxes and your family and your kids fill that box, then we'll put it in all the other boxes and we'll get them out next Sunday. So there are some empty boxes that didn't get filled. If you'd like to take one of those empty boxes with you and do that this week, then we'll get it out next week. And then if you want to maybe fill one of those four boxes that aren't filled. And also on the way out, Brother Arnold is going to help me. We're going to stick an offering plate out there by that stand. Each box to get it to where it goes is $9. If you'd like to have a part in that, there'll be an offering plate out there this morning. And you can have a part in that. And they go all over the place. And I can tell you, having been in a place where they get boxes like this for them to open up a box like that, it's a big deal for them. And the gospel goes with it, so that's exciting. I don't think we have any other prayer requests. So, Brother Ronnie, you're up.
All right, if everybody please stand and turn your hymn book to hymn number 362. Our brother deacons come forth to receive the morning offering. Brother Arnold, would you ask to place an offering, please? Hymn number 341.
Sweetest friend, but holy Lord, have a song that I sing it a lot, but it's very, it means a lot to me because I do need Jesus. Oh, I need Jesus to carry me through a long life's journeys. Yes, you need him too. And when you're in trouble, don't know what to do, just call on Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. He'll carry you through. When the storm clouds are raging and the wild billows roll, when the sad winds of sorrow sweep over my soul, I seek for a refuge, a safe hiding place. And I know that he'll keep me, keep me, keep me by his wonderful grace. Oh, I need Jesus to carry me through a long life's journey. Yes, you need him too. And when you're in trouble, don't know what to do, just call on Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. He'll carry you through.
Us need this morning. If you have your Bibles with you, go to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. Some of our folks are traveling, as well as there's some out there dealing with quarantine, and some have it, and some are just traveling. So pray for our church family. Exodus chapter 3. I enjoy having friends in the ministry, other pastors, and I was talking to some this week, you know, that called, and just we have a good time just fellowshipping on the phone and talking about you know, the condition of just not churches here, but really churches all over, and what this journey of COVID has maybe taught us about churches and about ministry, and about how to strengthen ourselves for the future, and there's really just a basic thought that was in every conversation, and that thought was about really who God is. And let me ask you this question: do we come to God based on our terms, or do we come to God based on His terms? Well, the nature of him being God, you have to come to God based on his terms. You cannot go to God and say, okay, God, I want to have a relationship with you, but this is how it's going to be. Okay? That in the nature of who God is cannot go together. He either is supreme, he either is the God of creation and needs to be respected that way, or he's not. You cannot gain salvation on your own terms. I've had people say, well, me and God made a deal. You're not making a deal with God. All right? Because in order to make a deal, then you have to have, you know, something that he's going to want like that, and that's not the case with God. Okay? All right? So there's no deal making with God. You know, you want to come to God, you got to come to him on his terms. And to come to God for salvation, the terms you got to have to understand, number one term is you have to understand that you're a sinner. You cannot come to God and enter a relationship with God without acknowledging the fact that you're a sinner. Okay? That's his terms. Okay. Now you may not like his terms, and therefore you do not have to go any further with the contract. But that's the term. Term number one: you have to understand you are a sinner, and because of that sin, you have to understand there is a penalty for that sin, And if you do not trust Christ, and then you're going to spend eternity in hell. You also have to understand that Jesus Christ, God's Son, was sinless and your substitute on that cross. And you have to, by faith, put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't put it in anything else. You can't put it in your own understanding, because your understanding will let yourself down. You have to put it simply by the fact that God said that if you trust Christ as his Savior, he will forgive you of your sins, and what he did on the cross will be payment for your sins. Those are the conditions of salvation, and you can't get there any other way. He's the one that sets those conditions, all right, and they can't be changed. If you don't like them, you don't have to go any further with that. You can walk away from that. All right. Now, with that said, there are also guidelines to getting to know God. All right. Once you get saved, that's the beginning, and you are a babe in Christ, and then your relationship with God continues to grow from there. Getting to know God after you're saved also comes with conditions that you don't get to name. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. Father, I pray that you would help us as we open your word. I pray, Lord, that you would take what's in the Bible and apply it to our heart. Oh, Lord, I just pray that you would give us what we need this morning. Father, thank you for being so kind, loving, and forgiving in our lives. I pray that we would see you revealed in our hearts this morning. We ask this in your precious name. Amen. In Genesis chapter 3, and I want you to go down to verse 4, or verse 3. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. So God and his Spirit came down to this earth, and he lit that bush on fire to get Moses' attention. And this bush did not burn. And of course, that got Moses' attention, right? He said, hey, I need to go find out why this bush is not burning. So he walked over there, and then God called to him out of that bush. Now, what's happening is the Spirit of God, God's Spirit is there in that bush. And here is a human being approaching the Spirit of God. And immediately God begins to call out the parameters of what's going to happen next. If you want this close-up, one-on-one, unique experience, would you not say that is a unique experience? May I tell you something? It is a unique experience for you to have a relationship with the God of heaven. Not only did he save you, but he doesn't want to be a stranger to you. Do you understand that? It's not save you, see you when you get to heaven. It's not save you and, hey, we'll get together later on. He saved you and at that moment desires to have a relationship with you, a closeness with a living God. Is that not a unique experience? Talking to a bush that never burns, a unique experience. Having a relationship with God that you can talk to him anytime you want to talk to him. That you can gain comfort from him anytime you want comfort. Where he can do things for you that you can never do by yourself. It's never being lonely, never being by yourself. Knowing that the God of the universe is one prayer away, that is a unique relationship. And that relationship has parameters that he sets. And when he approached this bush, immediately God said, okay, for this to continue, one thing you have to do, you got to take your shoes off. Now that wasn't a suggestion. That wasn't a, hey, if you feel like it. He said, stop right there, take your shoes off, because you're on holy ground. So after you get saved,
and you want to know more about God and you want to establish that relationship, you have to understand that relationship sits on holy ground. Just like it did there, it still does that today. The barrier between me and getting to know God and that relationship grow. Do you believe that every Christian knows God at the same level? No. It has to do with how much time and effort each individual puts in that journey. And whether or not you're following the parameters that God sets in order to have a relationship with Him. Okay? If you don't follow those parameters, then you're not going to get to know Him the way maybe somebody else knows Him who does follow those parameters. And one of the biggest ones is the fact God is a holy God. And if you're going to spend time with God, you cannot bring the junk of the world with you. You can't do that. He's going to ask you to take your shoes off, and He's going to ask you to respect the fact that He is holy, that in Him is no wrong. In him, there's no evil. There's no bad thoughts. There's no sin. It's pure and it's holy. And sin cannot be in the presence of God. And we have to respect that. Now, here's a real big problem. See, the temple doesn't exist anymore. You're the temple. The Spirit of the living God now lives in you. The problem is we do not provide Him holy ground. And we wonder why He feels like He's a million miles off. Or we wonder why it's hard to get to know Him, because we're not giving Him that holy ground. For Him to go on with this conversation and have the unique experience of dialoguing one-on-one. Now, in your Christian life, can you dialogue one-on-one with God? You don't need me. I'm not a priest. You can do it yourself. But in order to do that, you got to respect His holiness. And you got to come to Him with that in mind. And guys, we pick up so much junk in this dirty world that we live in. I mean, it constantly plagues us. For Him to have that conversation with God, one-on-one, talking, and look at the freedom that He had with Him. He even got to tell God, hey, I don't really think I can do that because I'm not really big into talking. And they, oh man, I just enjoy that story. But for it to go any further, He had to take His shoes off and acknowledge the fact that God is holy. I got to come to Him based on my terms. When we swim in the cesspool of the world every day and we walk in those doors and expect to hear from God, without taking our shoes off on the inside and asking God to forgive us. And then we can't, it's not just simply, okay, forgive me for where I messed up this week. Then you're going to have a plan of how you're not going to do it next week. So let me go, let's look at this if you would. I want you to go to Deuteronomy chapter 23. Deuteronomy chapter 23. Deuteronomy chapter 23. And then I want you to look Deuteronomy chapter 23, and then I want you to look at, let's go up to verse 10, okay? If there be any among you, any man that is not clean by reason of uncleanness, that chances him by night, then shall he go abroad out of the camp, he shall not go within the camp. And let's go up to verse 7. This will explain a little bit better. Thou shalt not abhor an Edomite, for he is thy brother. Thou shalt not abhor an Egyptian, because thou was a stranger. The children that are begotten of them shall enter into the congregation of the Lord in their generation. When the host goeth forth against thine enemies, then keep them from every wicked thing. If there be among you any man that is not clean by reason of uncleanness, and chances him by night, then shall he go abroad out of the camp, he shall not come within the camp. But it shall be when evening cometh on, he shall wash himself with water, and when the sun is down, he shall come into the camp again. Thou shalt have a place also without the camp, whither thou shalt go forth abroad. Now, when you go to verse 14, For the Lord thy God walketh in the midst of thy camp to deliver thee, and to give up thine enemies before thee. Therefore shall thy camp be holy, that he see no unclean thing in thee and turn away from thee. This is what that's saying. He's saying, okay, when you go into battle and you go against your enemies and you're going out into these people, and if you do something or come across something unclean, when you come home, you can't go in the camp. Here's what he said. He said, you stay outside of the camp, you wash your hands, you wait till the sun goes down, then you go back in the camp. And here's why he explains why you have to do that. Look here in verse 14. For the Lord thy God walketh in the midst of the camp. If he walks in the midst of the camp, then does he not walk in the midst of the camp now? Amen. All right. For the Lord thy God walketh in the midst of the camp to deliver thee and to give up thine enemies before thee. Therefore shall thy camp be holy, that he see no unclean thing. Ooh. That is the criteria for God to give Israel the victory, is that he shows up in the camp and he walks around in the camp and he can't see any unclean thing. And if he sees an unclean thing, he has to turn aside. Those were the parameters set down based on having a relationship with God and God fighting your battles for you. In that relationship, there were parameters. They said you wait outside of the camp, you wash your hands, you do not bring that stuff into the camp, because if you do, he walks around in your camp. Well, if he walks around in that camp down there, does he not walk around in your heart? Right? And when he's in your heart, is he going to see anything unclean? And if he does, then that relationship can't go any further until you get that taken care of. Is that right or wrong? And then we wonder why we don't have power in our relationship with God. Because I'm going to tell on Heather. I was just here. She's looking at me like, no, don't do that. I just came here. I was new here, right? And where I'm from, you know, we go visiting, and Brother Arnold always says, well, you want to call first? I said, nah, just show up. So I did that. I went over to, Heather's going to kill me. I won't do it too bad. Well, they're under construction at their house, right? And I show up and I knock on the door, all right? And immediately she starts panicking, right? Because they're remodeling her dad's house. So, of course, the thing's going to be under construction, right? And she was so worried about it. She kept apologizing to me. Hey, sorry about this. The house has lived in. And it was just because they're under construction. You would expect that, right? But it was so funny. I can remember growing up and being at home. Have you ever lived through this? Somebody knock on the door. My mom would peek out the window and she'd go, it's the church people. And there'd be a mad dash for 20 minutes. I mean, somebody had to stall at the door, and there would be a mad dash. I'm thinking the church people need to come by here every day. You know, I mean, all of a sudden, I mean, stuff's getting shoved in the closet. I'm like, hey, there's this thing about closets. They can be opened. You know, I'm stuff under the bed and dirty dishes inside the refrigerator. You know, I'm thinking, you know, and then everybody stopped. You know, poor guy's at the door for 20 minutes. You open up, hi, how are you doing? Kicking stuff underneath the couch. Well, we do that for people. But do you understand, by nature of being a sinner, you and I are dirty. And dirtiness and God can't go along. And if there's anything that you can do, and there's anything that I can do to have the relationship with God that we need to have, is to pay attention to personal holiness. That is one of the biggest, that's the biggest obstacle in me getting to know God the way that I need to get to know God, is respecting that holiness. It's understanding that a wrong thought gone undone, a wrong attitude, a wrong agenda, being around, if they even touched something that was dirty, they couldn't go in that camp and we're outside in this world all day long, do we take the time? Are we careful about what we do and where we go and what we think and what we allow into our life? Are we watching those gates, our eye gate, our ear gate? Are we paying attention to that? Because anything that's dirty is going to hinder us from being able to have the kind of relationship with God that we need. If you want to sit down one-on-one and talk to a burning bush, you're going to have to do it based on his terms. And he cannot be around sin. It's not, listen, it's just who he is. And because of who he is, that's why he could save us, amen? I mean, that's a great attribute of God, that he can't be around sin. That means that his son had the ability to actually pay for all of our sins, because his cleanness outshined the souls of thousands and thousands and thousands of people were redeemed through the blood of one innocent man that was never a sinner. Thank God that he's holy. Thank God that he can't be around sin. Because you know what? That's what I'm banking on when I get to heaven. No sin in heaven. I'm banking on living in a place where that doesn't exist. I'm banking on a place I don't ever have to take my shoes off because they won't be dirty. Amen? I'm banking on that kind of place. Well, if you want to get to know God in that kind of way now, you've got to respect his holiness. He has the right to tell you how you're going to come to him. And when he says, I cannot deal with sin, he is not joking. When he says, if you regard iniquity in your heart, I will not hear you, it is not because he just doesn't like you. It is the fact that he doesn't like sin. Okay? And if you hide it in your heart, you broke one of the rules of the parameters in order to have that kind of relationship with God. You got to get it out of your heart. And then you got to be 100% ready all the time, because church people might show up, right? You know, it'd be a whole lot better instead of doing the mad dash to the door, start sticking stuff underneath the couch. Oh, I got to go to church on Sunday. I got to do something with this week. And when the most of us, if on it, here's what I was talking to other preachers. Even as a pastor, you can get to the point where you forget that God's holy. You can forget that that's where the power comes from. As being around a holy God, we cannot come to him on our terms. There are things we should not watch because he says don't watch them. There are things you should not wear because he says don't wear them. There are things you shouldn't do because he says don't do them. Those are his terms to get to know who he is. Right? Okay. There's that one. Go if you would to Mark chapter 7, if you would. Let's see if I can get a little bit further down this road. Mark chapter 7 and verse 21. Mark chapter 7 and verse 21. They were so worried about the disciples not washing their hands and being unclean. And they got in this big debate, and God gave them this parable. And here's what he says about it in Mark chapter 7 and verse 19. Verse 18, and he said unto them, are ye so without understanding also? Do ye not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into man, it cannot defile him, because it entereth not into his heart, but into his belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all meats? And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man, for from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murderers, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. If those are inside of you, if those are coming out of your heart, you have just created an atmosphere that God cannot work in. It said, those things defile your heart. They're the ones that come out of your heart. If your living room looks like that, God's not going to be comfortable in that living room. You got to do something with the living room. You got to clean it up. You can't leave it like that. That, because they were so worried. Oh, the disciples, they didn't wash their hands. They're eating with hands that are not clean. And they got all worked up about that. And he said, what are you worried for? You eat that. It goes inside your belly. Your belly takes care of anything that. And it passes it out. It takes what's bad and it gets rid of it. That doesn't defile you. What you eat doesn't defile you. He said, but you can defile yourself. It's from your heart. And that creates an atmosphere that the Spirit of God cannot hang around in. And the fellowship is broken. Because in order for him to be comfortable in your living room, you're going to have to clean it. And you're going to have to keep it cleaned. Because those things are toxic to a relationship with a holy God. Now, is it worth the effort? Is it worth the effort to make sure your heart's where it needs to be so that you have the privilege of talking to God in a unique way like Moses did with the burning bush? Is it worth the effort to go through all of that effort? Is it worth being careful with everything you see and everything you do and every place you go, your attitudes and your... Is it worth that for the benefit of being able to talk to God like Abraham did with God on the mountain, one-on-one? Right? As a man face to face, as a man talks with his friend. Brother Lloyd, what would you give for the ability to do that? What would you give to be able to talk to God face to face like a man speaks to his friend? Do you know you can do that? You can do that. But you got to do it based on his terms. In Psalms it says he needs to be worshipped in the beauty of holiness. Do you know there is something beautiful about purity? There's something beautiful about innocence. I look at a little baby and I think at that time that baby doesn't know a swear word. And to me that's priceless. It doesn't know any of that. It's absolutely beautiful and innocent. And God, if he's going to be worshipped, has to be worshipped in the beauty of holiness. And guys, how do we do that and live out there? So we're going to have to fight at that effort. When it gets in, you got to get it back out again. When sin does enter us, we've got to be... Listen, we got to get back to the point where we're appalled at our failures. Yes, they're forgiven, but I should never be comfortable with it. I should never be okay with it. Just simply the fact that I can go to God and ask him to forgive me for losing my temper or bad thought or whatever it is, I ought not to ever get comfortable with the fact that I can do that. Does it not bother you about how easy it is to just simply let your flesh have control when you don't want it to? Right? Well, there has to be an effort in getting to know God in that relationship. And that part of that main thing is that holiness. And here's one I'll just hit really quick. I got 5 minutes. Another part of that relationship is trust. You cannot, that relationship cannot be. What God was telling Moses is you got to trust me. You want me to go to Pharaoh and tell him, let my people go? And when he says, well, why should I do that? You just tell him, I am sent you. I'm like, well, that's great. You're up here and I'm down there. You know, I mean, you're there and I'm here. You really want me to walk up to him and say, hey, God told me, let those people go. Yeah, right. He don't even believe in God. You know, and what did God say? Moses, trust me. He said, trust me. You cannot go further in that relationship with God. He demands trust. You have to trust him. If you can't trust him, then there's a problem. I mean, it's 100% blind trust. I don't have to know all the answers. He's God. I don't have to know the why. He's God. Do you like it? Okay, it said, why? Why? Well, you know, well, I remember when Stephen and Tiny got to that. Why about everything? Well, why can't I put my finger in that light socket? Why can't I do that? Why can't I do that? Why can't I do that? After the 5,000th why, you forget wanting to teach them and just say, because I said, that's why. I'm dad. I don't have time for all of this. You know, it's because, but may I tell you something? If you can, you got to trust him. You have to trust that he is God and he knows what he's doing. You cannot then take it back from him at 10 minutes after you gave it to him and decide now you're going to control the situation. You can't do that. That is not the parameters that he set in order to have a relationship with God. You have to trust him. You have to trust. Y'all, my responsibility is to do what he said, and then I need to trust him from the outcome. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. He'll direct your path. We cannot, there in a Christian's life, worry has no place because you're not trusting. I cannot solve the world's problems. I can't even solve my problems. But I can trust God. I can do this. I can be faithful to what he tells me to do. I can do the plan that he's given me, and then I am going to have to trust him for the outcome because I did what he told me to do. And God, all God was asking out of Moses is that he just does what he tells him to do and let God part the Red Sea. Let him do that. You just go tell him we're going. You know, well, how's that going to happen? Hey, don't worry about how that's going to happen. I tell young people all the time, listen, just don't worry about who you're going to marry. Don't worry about all of these questions that come into your, you know, I'm going to be, by. Don't worry about all of that. You just seek the kingdom of God first. And all of, that's what it says. Am I making it up? Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all of these things shall be added unto you. He's just saying, you seek and just trust me that I want to make you happy. I want to take care of you. I love you. You don't have any other responsibility except be obedient to me and trust. That's it. But how do you have a relationship with somebody if you don't trust them? I literally have had pastors tell me they don't trust their deacons. Well, how in the world are you supposed to do that? All right, that would be game over for me. You know? I mean, how are you supposed to be married if you can't trust your wife? How are you supposed to be married if you can't trust your husband? Trust is a huge part of any relationship. And is at the bedrock of a relationship with God. You have to trust him. And if you can't trust him, then there's a problem. A really big problem. Because that's how I'm going to heaven. I'm trusting him. Right? So when I come to God, I take my shoes off first. Okay, because they're dirty. And then as I sit down, I then have to remove my will out of that situation. And I just have to sit there in awe of a living God, and I just have to trust him. And then that begins an atmosphere for you to do something very unique, and that is to commune with the God of the universe on a personal level that is miraculous. But it has to be on his terms. And you know what? God is big, right? There are more than just two terms. We could go on and on. You know what? Time spent. Do you know one of the reasons why God said to them, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy? Because it's easy for 6 days for us to forget about God, and we need one day where we can. Is that a crime? One day. Where are you? You know, it's not just about tagging 2 hours in church on Sunday. That's not it. It's taking the whole day and let it revolve around you getting closer to God, whether it's going to do something with your family later on that involves time where you talk about God. I doesn't just mean a two-hour talk about him for a little bit on Sunday. That's not, it means I got seven, 6 days. I need to be with God. I need to be with him. I need to shut out everything I can this today with the rest of the world, and I just need to be with God. I just need to stop. He said to be still and to know that I am God. Quit moving for just a little bit. Purpose in your mind. Even build an event around your family and say, hey, we're going to, listen, I get that maybe you don't like doing it in church. I understand that. But listen, here's what I don't get. I don't understand why Mike's family couldn't go to some picnic park today and say, hey, as a family, we're going to sit around and everybody just tell something they're thankful about God. I wouldn't get that for a second. I mean, it's your family. You know, you can be creative as much as you want to be creative, and how that looks like, weaving the day around God. Do you know it doesn't have to be sitting there with a Bible and singing hymns the whole entire day, but it does have to involve sometime during the week. We have got to have some genuine quality time with God. It starts with the Word of God, but it doesn't just end there with the Word of God. You can't build a relationship when it's 6 days for you and 1 day for him. That's lopsided. So the relationship's going to be lopsided. It's got to be a closeness with God where you block out the world and you're spending time with him. What did the people say? What did the two men say that were walking down the road after Jesus died and was resurrected? They were walking. They didn't know it was Jesus. And then later on they found out it was Jesus. What did they say about those words? And those words to me, what did he say after? He said, did not our hearts burn? When's the last time your heart burned? Do you know that did not take place in a church service? That took place in a personal journey on their own outside of that event. And they said, my heart burned. Now, obviously, I'm a pastor and I recommend that you be in church. But may I tell you, that's not enough. How close do you want to be to him? That'll determine how much time you spend with that. I mean, I've literally have texted my wife the whole way across the Atlantic Ocean. The whole entire time. On Emirates, they had internet the whole way across. Text her the whole way. When's the last time we ever had that kind of quality one-on-one with God? Well, when those things are lacking, he demands that, by the way. I mean, because he said, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. That is so you don't forget about him. Okay, he demands that. It's easy, human nature, for us to forget about him. So here's the question. With those three things we've gone over this morning, how bad do you want to get to know him? And until we acknowledge that there are terms and parameters into that relationship of getting to know God after salvation, until we understand that, we'll never have that kind of relationship. There's things God expects out of me. And if all we did today was just concentrate on the holiness part, that'd take us a long way down that road. Let's stand, if you would, with heads bowed and eyes closed. And you think about the stress that it would cause any of us if we thought that we were going to meet God this afternoon. Look, I know I'm saved. No doubt in my mind that I'm saved. But do you understand, Moses asked if he could see God, and God said, you cannot see me. You cannot see my face and live. Why? You could see his back part and live, but there's something about the face of God that a human being in a sinful nature cannot see. And then I think, how many times do I make Jesus sit around sin? And guys, until we admit that our living rooms aren't clean, that we're not where we need to be in that department, let's give God an atmosphere in our hearts that He's able to sit down in. Let's just start there and see what God can do with us. Let's just start right there this week. Our prayer, everybody's prayer, give God an atmosphere in your heart that lends itself to having a relationship, a sit down, a face to face, a burning bush experience. You gotta have holy ground. And there's no better place than to do that this morning. Now, if you're here in the first part, you died and you don't know where you're going to go, I lay down some prayer. Listen, you got to come the way he tells you to come. It's not a feeling. It's not an emotion. It's trusting in what he says. And there's no other way you can do it. If the piano's going to play in a minute, if God spoke to your heart, the altar's open. I find it very interesting that no matter what in the Bible, God always makes a way. Even when they put that ark in a covenant and then they put that curtain in front of it. And they were told, you can't go past that curtain. And then they said, but one time a year, the priest could go by. And it gave them things the priest had to do. Aren't you glad that he's not unapproachable? That you can get to know him. But you got to do it his way. That's all. You know, I mean, you can get to know the God of the burning bush in your life right now. I can. You can. It doesn't have to be afar off. Something you control. I can't clean your living room and you can't clean mine. That's an individual, personal thing. But we can do it. And wouldn't it be great for God to show up later this afternoon and say, hey, Dave, place looks different today. And you tell him, yeah, because I wanted you to stay around. And that'll mean something to him. Brother Lloyd, would you close us to prayer?